Here I am. Will that be our response as we hear the call to discipleship? Hear now the words of our gospel, the words of Jesus as recorded by Luke in chapter 14, verses 25 through 32. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." May God bless the reading and hearing of this word. Thanks be to God. We have lots of choices. We go to a restaurant after lunch and we see all kinds of choices on the menu. We see all kinds of restaurants to choose from here in Elon and Burlington. But that's not the case everywhere. When Betsy and I lived in South America, we were in the countryside in Ecuador with some other colleagues. The restaurant was by a beautiful lake. The decor of the restaurant was beautiful. It was Spanish colonial. The wait staff were courteous, and they didn't like to say no. They were always very, very accommodating. We received the expansive menus of multiple pages and were delighted with the offerings. Broiled almond-encrusted trout, chicken prepared the way we liked it, pastas, meats, and delicious desserts. It's dangerous to talk about food at this hour, isn't it? We still have a ways to go. Everything on the menu was perfect. And we began to order, each of us having our own opinion and having a different order. But one by one, the waiter responded very, very politely, "Forgive me, but we do not have that item today." Finally, after going through about 10 items, which he did not have today, we began to realize that this restaurant during the week in this fairly remote area at the lake probably had prepared only one thing. But still, they were proud of their menu and wanted us to see it all. Finally, I wised up, and not wanting to embarrass the waiter, who was very polite, I said, "What would you recommend today?" He said, "Oh, the arroz con pollo, the chicken and rice." And I said, "You know, that sounds great. I think we'll all have that." And we did. Obviously, only one menu on the item on the menu, but there was a choice. What was it? Take it or leave it. Our scripture reading today comes to remind us of the many choices we have. First of all, Deuteronomy quotes Moses, telling the children of Israel they have some choices. Verse 15, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, or death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of God by loving your God, walking in God's ways, observing God's commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and God will bless you." But, verse 17, that's not all the choice. There is another one. "But if your heart turns away, if you bow down, worship other gods, that's an option, but you're going to perish." Moses, in his sermon, has given a choice to the children of Israel. Will it be the faithful life of trusting God, or will they be swamped in the worship of other gods? Would they be obsessed by the possessions that they have? Millard Fuller heard this verse when he went down to Americus, Georgia, back in the 60s, and he met a man named Clarence Jordan at Quantinia Partners or Farms at that time. And Millard Fuller was a millionaire from Alabama. You know that name, Habitat for Humanity, as its founding father was Millard Fuller, now Fuller Center for the Housing. Clarence Jordan was asked by Millard, "What must I do to become part of this group here, this Quantinia group, Farms?" And he said, "The people who are here, all of us, have to give up everything, all our possessions." Millard says he got into his Cadillac, drove back, very sad. But that weighed upon him because he realized the cost of discipleship was being willing to do just that. The rest of the story we know is that sometime later, both Millard Fuller and Clarence Jordan talked together and began what is now Habitat for Humanity and also the Center, Fuller Center for Housing. Giving up all we have. That is a hard, hard verse for us, but there's another one that's even harder. And that is from Luke, we hear that verse, another menu with not many choices. The bottom line is clear. If you want to follow Jesus and be his disciples, you have to count the cost and make the choice of giving it all up or keeping it and denying Jesus. In our world where our possessions are our life, so we think this comes to us as a menu item a little too hard for us to swallow. Emerson Powery put it this way, "Today's contemporary church has to wrestle with the reality of following a radical, countercultural prophet in this day and age that tells us that possessions are all that matter. His message and action," says Powery, "will not always be easy to follow or to transfer simplistically into our 21st century context." That's an understatement. There are some real problems with these words of Jesus. They're too hard. They're just too hard. Giving up possessions, all of them. Verse 26, listen to this one. "Whoever comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple." Wait a minute. This is Grandparents' Day. We love our families. What's going on here? Giving up? Hating? He uses the word hate. Wait a minute. Surely we can soften that word a little bit. I looked it up in the Greek lexicon. I looked it up in Aramaic. I looked it up in Hebrew. You know what hate means? It means hate. It means hate. Verse 26, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate his wife and children and father and mother." What are we going to do with that, Bible believers, church people, Christians? Wait a minute. What about Jesus? He loved his family. He asked Peter to take care of his mother, the disciples there. On the cross, he thought of his mother. He asked us to be faithful to the covenants, and he blessed the covenant of marriage at Cana of Galilee. He told us to watch after widows and orphans, to extend our family. He blesses children. He points to the intimacy of love and family, calling his father Abba, Daddy, an affectionate term. So let's look at that word hate again. Dr. Fred Craddock, one of the best preachers I've ever heard, maybe some of you have heard him, says that the word hate is used in a Semitic expression meaning to turn away from or detach. To turn away from or detach, not the sentimental or emotional loathing that we associate with that word. In family systems language, it would be translated as differentiation. Now, let me explain differentiation in terms of discipleship. Years ago, Betsy and I felt called to the mission field, and we are praying for Carson and Laura Foshi today as they're adjusting in Japan. They're our missionaries there. But we were on our way to South America, and we were sharing that news at Christmas time. We had a little 18-month-old child at that time, and I remember telling my mother, we're going off to South America, where we'll be missionaries and taking this 18-month-old grandson of hers. She said, I understand you're called, but couldn't you go to Texas instead? Now, there was not hate there, but there was the discernment of calling and priorities that said that we had to do what God was calling us. If we were serious about, here I am, Lord, we had to do what we felt called to do. Sometimes our faithfulness to following Christ, whether you're an ordained deacon or minister, or whether you're a missionary, or whether you're just walking fresh from the waters of baptism, dripping wet with the covenant vows to follow Jesus, sometimes it feels to others like we're rejecting them because we are loving God and following God's call in our lives. Now, having read those words from Luke, I prefer the words from Matthew because he says, whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. So you got to love father and mother, but you've got to even love God, love Christ more. Another word we don't hear a lot of that we are called to hear in this particular passage is sacrifice. Sacrifice. Taking up our cross is one way to call it sacrifice. We're not called to the ultimate sacrifice, perhaps, certainly not in the way Jesus was. That was a unique one, a very unique one that we emulate in all that we are about, that we try to follow as our guide in all of life. But here are the promises of Jesus. Well, you might not have material blessings. You might not have the biggest house. And contrary to what the prosperity gospel preachers are saying today, you may give up your vacation in order to do vacation Bible school. You may give up a little of your retirement income in order to do at least a tithe to your church. You may give up your desire to have it bigger and better and more in order to share the resources of the world, your resources with the world and with others who have less. That's what Jesus is saying. You better count those costs because you won't be wealthy. Christianity and following Jesus will not make you wealthy. It will make you wealthy in spirit and in that which really counts. So Jesus uses the word hate. But what Jesus did was to reject all claims that counter the love of God and the call of God upon our lives. I don't believe that he literally means hate your family. I hope that you will see your covenant and your commitment to your spouse and children. And if you deacons say to me and come in, oh, I've left my child with a fever at home and by himself so I could come to this deacon's meeting, I'm going to say goodbye. You go take care of that child. That is a responsibility. I love the story that Jimmy Carter tells about Miss Lillian, his mother. She went in to her daughter, Ruth, who was having a prayer meeting. She was a very religious person. And she was having a prayer meeting. Her circle was meeting and they were praying for the sick. And Miss Lillian just had a lot of things to do. She didn't go to the prayer meeting, but she knocked on that door and she said, let me tell you something. Neighbor down here has to go to the hospital. She needs transportation. And if any of you are not too busy praying, she would appreciate a ride. She put it straight, didn't you? So we come to this special time now of deacon ordination. And we come knowing that we are all inadequate, but we need God's care, God's guidance, God's help. We need the help of the community. We are asked, are we willing to be obedient to the call of Christ, to go where he calls us to go, to do what he asks us to do? Are we willing to take up the cross? Can we say, here I am, I'm willing? Or should our lives be so filled with love and sacrifice, but unwillingness? At least we say we're filled with love and sacrifice, but if we're unwilling, we're not filled with that love and sacrifice, that attitude. We need to be more than just symbols of the faith. Our actions, our words, our appearance, our demeanor should be such that we are signs of the cross. We don't just wear the cross. We are signs of the cross for a world who needs to see and hear and taste and smell and touch and know the grace of God in Christ. How are we called to be God's people? And how can we use those unique talents and abilities? That's the question, not just for these deacons, but for all of us. I hope you will pray for those deacons being ordained. And as you pray for them and all who are set apart, will you accept that you too are set apart? You too are asked to serve, to take up the cross, to follow. There's a choice there. The menu option that we have today are long and expansive, but really there's just one option, only one choice. Will you take up the cross and follow Jesus? That is the question.